Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. My apologies, it's been a while, but I'm back and ready to give you the best from the world of sports, entertainment, or just life in general. People with interesting stories to share. I recently sat down with Buffalo Bills safety Micah Hyde. We talked about his upbringing in the Rust Belt town of Fostoria, Ohio, as well as his transition from Green Bay to Buffalo and his emotional exit from the Packers as a free agent. Then we talked about his love for both history and government, even Broadway shows and traveling the world. There's a lot in here I think you probably didn't know about Bills safety Micah Hyde, and how about his relationship with the media and how he was even betrayed one time. I hope you enjoy it. Here's Bills safety Micah Hyde. Micah Hyde joining me here on the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. A little bit of life, entertainment, culture, everything here. And Micah, you've always been one that strikes me as a guy that's all into that kind of stuff. You're not just a football player. You have a lot going on in your life, so I appreciate you joining me.
Oh, of course, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, so I want to start, first of all, with Micah Hyde, the kicker. Tell me about Micah Hyde, the kicker.
I played soccer when I was little. If it wasn't for my mom making me play football, I would have kept playing soccer. There wasn't a high school team or middle school team to play soccer, so my mom basically said, you're playing football. And so we had to stay with that.
Was it a struggle to play football? You know, parents, your mom, your dad, you know, wanting you to play football, you wanting to play?
No, I mean, right away, I started playing. I liked football. You know, all my friends were doing it, so I wanted to be a part of it. And I knew that we had a pretty good, class. So I figured by the time our class was seniors, we were going to be pretty good, which we were. So.
And then you were a very good kicker in high school, though. I mean, what was it like kind of every day, you know, knowing that you had to be like the best athlete on your team? You're a quarterback, you're a kicker, you know, DB. But do you ever think about, you know, maybe making life as a kicker?
No, I never really have. I just thought it was this is something extra. You know, I come from a small town, small school, not many guys on the football team. So I was the best kicker. So they had me do it kind of, you know, my soccer background allows me to do that. But I was just used to not coming off the field. I was kicker, punter, kick returner, punt returner. I was all of it. So, and like I said, small school, so I could do all that stuff.
Fostoria, is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
So tell me a little bit about growing up in Fostoria.
Like I said, small town, blue collar community. People there just work hard. You know, when I was younger, there's about three or four big factories. And since then, I think three of them have left. So, you know, a lot of people from the community have left. And I think when I was little, it was probably, probably back in the 90s, I want to say it was probably around like 17,000, 18,000. I know when my mom was little, it was I don't want to say popping community, but it was a lot more people. But it's just, the numbers are just dwindling down. You drive through Fostoria right now, the downtown's really really nothing. You know, they're taking down stoplights, putting up stop signs. This is one of those things that they're just dying for a business or something to come in and revamp the community. So, I just do it for them. And I know that every Sunday I strap up my shoes and strap up my helmet. You know, they're looking for me on TV, I do a lot of the things I do to this day because of where I grew up and for the people in the community of Fostoria.
Did you grow up, would you say you grew up poor?
We definitely didn't have money. I think that my mom, I don't want to say poor because I feel like it'd be a slap in the face to her because she did everything she could to provide for, you know, what we needed. It was what we needed. It wasn't what we wanted. She was married a few times. Those didn't work out as a child. So, she had four kids running around, and my brother was heavily involved in sports, and he was out with his friends, and his friends' parents helped with him. My sister my older sister was kind of the one that's was always at the house, and myself, I was always in sports too, and then my little sister. So, we tried to make it easy on my mom by not really. Putting too much pressure on her about, I need school shoes, I need school clothes, all that stuff, because, me and my brother both worked on a farm and we kind of got some money that way and was able to pay for some things ourselves. But she got us whatever we needed. I can remember days where it'd be in the morning, she's getting ready for work, and I'd, tell her, Mom, I don't have any deodorant. Like, I have to go to school. Like, I don't have any deodorant. And she'd run and go get deodorant. Just stuff that we needed. She always provided for us. She never thought twice, and that's why we all appreciate her so much this day.
I saw you were good academically, but were you actually good, or were you just, hey, I knew how to play the game kind
of
good?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think that some of the subjects I was pretty good at. I was never really the kid that was just like goofing off a lot. I knew that I needed to get good grades for sports, so I was never like in class like being an idiot or anything like that. Yeah, I actually got along with most of my teachers. I can remember a few of them, like pre-calc. I just knew that there was no way after I graduated high school I'd ever use pre-calc again. The kind of as a teacher, they sit here and say, well, you're going to need it to, all right, sure. So, little things, little subjects like that, I was kind of not trying too hard. But other ones, history I enjoyed, English I was not very good at, science I enjoyed. So it was pretty cool. I can still go back to this day and talk to most of my teachers and walk in the classroom and it's all love, man. We appreciate each other.
I don't know if you know, I was a high school teacher for 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was football coach down in Florida, high school teacher for 10 years. I taught social studies, government, history.
I love social studies. I love government. I love history. I think to this day, I wish I would have paid attention more, in government. I'm not really too deep into politics and all that stuff, but I still enjoy the system and stuff, and then also history. I love history, man. Like that, there's nothing like watching a movie on TV that involves history, because I just like to learn stuff, whether if it's Pearl Harbor or, just all that stuff. It just fascinates me.
Those movies that basically put a story, like a historic story, like the Titanic, around another story, right?
And I don't know. It's weird because Amanda always, whenever I go to Netflix and I pick one of those movies, she just gets her book out and starts reading because she hates it. She's terrible at history. But I enjoy it, man. I like knowing how, countries formed. I like knowing who they were owned by and how they got their independence and like just weird stuff like that. I enjoy it. And I think that's partly why I like to travel so much, just because, we go to different countries and we see that I'm trying to think off the top of my head. We went to the French Polynesian, we went to Tahiti, and, obviously French Polynesian, so they're owned by the French. And it's fascinating to know that, this country down almost to Australia is owned by the French. Like, how did that happen? And so that's kind of how my mind works. I like to know stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little weird.
No, I don't think you are at all. I think a lot of us have that in us. We all have our own thing. I always tell people, I could tell you the last 30 Heisman Trophy winners off the top of my head. But you know what I've known about a car? Where to stick a key.
Man, I don't know nothing about cars.
See, right. We all got our own things, right?
Yeah, so that is 100% true, yeah.
I read you're very detail-oriented. Give me an example of how you're detail-oriented.
I don't know, man. I guess I don't.
Are you a clean freak?
I am a
OCD,
freak.
Anything like that?
I think I've developed OCD. Something as simple as like, I think going back to when I was younger, I was always shared a room with my older brother, and he was like sloppy, didn't care what was left over. And I was always the one that just cleaning, you know, making sure my shoes were organized and the remote was right here on the nightstand and, you know, stuff like that. And to this day, you know, I'll probably go to the basement and go to the house right now and go down there, and, you know, the remotes will be all over the place, and I gotta have, you know, the biggest remote to the smallest remote sitting right there on the coffee table. Like, it's just weird, man. So I'm a little bit OCD, but as far as detail oriented, I like that in football, because I don't like having that gray area. I like having, you know, black and white. I need to know, if this route happens, can I do this? Can I not do this? If, you know, in this play, am I able to freelance? Am I able to go make a play, or is this my job? And I think that's kind of how I've succeeded and got to the level where I am today, is because I know when I can take chances. I know when I can go get the ball. I know what, you know, with the film study and stuff like that, what plays might be coming, and from there just go make plays.
What was your relationship like with Aaron Rodgers in the Packers locker room?
I wouldn't say we were like best friends or anything, but I think that we had a respect, definitely an understanding that no, he knew what type of player I was. I can remember after that whole free agent situation went down, he texted me and said, man, I'm so happy. Because I put out a tweet, because all the stuff that, you know, I felt like I did for that organization and my fiance at the time, we were just hurt, man. We were hurt that they didn't even come out and send us an offer. So, you know, I put out a tweet once I, you know, signed with Buffalo, and basically said, you know, thank you to Packer Nation for everything they did and all that stuff, and basically said, even though I didn't get an offer from them, you know, thank you so much for the opportunity and blah, blah, blah. And right after I sent that tweet out, he texted me and said, thank you, man. Like, people got to understand that, you know, people aren't just choosing to leave organizations. You know, good players aren't choosing to leave. It's sometimes, you know, the organization just doesn't want you anymore. And he said, I appreciate you saying that. So now maybe they might understand that we can't just keep losing, you know, good players. And so ever since that day, I kind of just look back, and I've seen him at, you know, three or four weddings since then, and it's just a pure respect. I appreciate what he does for the league, and smart guy, and I don't think a lot of people understand him, just because he can, you know, I think they see him more as a celebrity than just a regular person.
You have to word the tweet like that on purpose, I would think. You know, you want to make sure people know, hey, this wasn't my choice. They didn't make me an offer. How hurt were you when that went down, and how much resentment do you still hold today because of it?
I don't hold any resentment anymore. I have plenty of guys on the team that I want to succeed, and if it came down to it and they're in a Super Bowl, I want them to win it. Mm-hmm. Obviously not against us, but
right.
But I want them to win it. But it was one of those things, man. Like, I'm normally a guy. I've always been a guy that I don't care what other people think. I don't care, you know, how people see me as a football player, and it wasn't just football growing up. You know, they see me as a basketball player, a baseball player, whatever. But what I do want is to people, for people to understand me, to know me, and don't judge me off something that is out of my control, which that situation was out of my control. And a lot of people thought that I was just leaving to go chase money. Like, I could care less about money. Like, I want to win a championship. I want to do all that. And I didn't get an offer for them. Am I supposed to go back and say I'll play for free? Like, right. So my whole, you know, Twitter and all that stuff is blowing up with people thinking I'm just disrespecting that organization, which wasn't the case at all, you know. And so I just wanted them to understand, like, I didn't get an offer. And it was frustrating at the time. It was frustrating the whole offseason, man. It was just weird. It's something I've never been a part of. Putting your heart and soul into something and someone telling you you're not good enough. Like, I've never dealt with that before in my life. That was something new to me. But at the same time, it prepared me for this league, man. Like, a lot of guys in this league take it for granted and don't understand that, you know, any day could be your last day. And I really realized that since then. Like, you know, a team could really not need you anymore and just kick it to the curb, and you never know what could happen after that.
Every year I write a column, and in the offseason I hear here's four or five guys the Bills should target. You were on the in that I said that year, so you made me look good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But
you.
obviously you had other offers. Did you weigh maybe going to other organizations, if you want to say on that?
Well, so about that whole free agency process, the Bills were, they were in it from the beginning. And I think the, I think it was the first day I signed with the Bills. But I was talking to my agent, you know, a couple of days before, and, you know, he had the time to talk to him at the combine, all the people to talk at the combine. But he basically said, you know, there's some other teams that are interested in you, but they want you to follow the next couple of days. You know, they don't like the range that you're at. And, you know, it's kind of another thing that, you know, I was kind of the Swiss Army knife in Green Bay doing a whole bunch of different things where I couldn't put my stamp that, like, you know, I can play safety in this league. I can play just nickel in this league. I can, you know, if they ask me to just be a pure punt returner, I can do that. So I was just doing so much in Green Bay that I think it kind of hurt me. And that's maybe what they saw. They thought maybe I couldn't play one position, but I'm just thankful for the opportunity that, you know, that they gave me here to go out there and just play safety and make my mark. And, you know, I'm still learning. This is my second full year of playing just strictly safety. I'm still learning each and every day, but I'm trying to make the most of it.
Patrick DeMarco came up to me and another media member one day, and he said, who's the best guy in the locker room to interview? And we both said you and Lorenzo. We said Micah Hyde and Lorenzo, because we said to us, in my role, I know you guys aren't going to say things that are going to be bulletin board material. We just want a little bit of honesty, and we want you to be straightforward with us and give good answers and quality answers that we can at least run with, not just old cliches. Yeah. You don't do that. Why is that? Why would us consider you one of the better guys to talk to?
I just think, you know, you guys have a job to do. I understand you guys. I think there are some guys in the locker room, in the media, that try to get that bulletin board material out of guys. But, I feel like, you know, you guys have a job. You guys are asking questions for a reason. I know how the media is. Being in Green Bay, I understand how the media is such a small market. But there was so, you know, nationwide, national media was, you know, if we had a big game coming up Saturday night, Monday night, it was the locker room was packed. Yeah. And so, you know, I understand that you know, media comes, they go. They're going to ask you questions. What, you know, they're going to be up and down. You know, going to say you're going to the Super Bowl one day, then the next week after you lose, you're getting the first pick of the draft. You know, I understand how that stuff works. So, you know, I think that somebody like Zoe is, you know, I look at him and I think that, wow, I want to get to his level just because of, you know, how much respect he has around the locker room. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just understand, you know, this is your guys' job, and no hard feelings. You guys ask me questions for a reason.
I don't want you to get specific. You don't need to, obviously, but do you guys think about us sometimes and say, like, I don't want to talk to that guy or that girl? Oh, yeah. I mean, do you know about all of us?
100%.
How does that work?
Well, perfect example. I had a guy in Green Bay that wanted to do a story on me. It was just like this, one-on-one. You know, I don't want to say spilling my heart out, but I'm telling, you know, my upbringing and all that stuff. And he starts talking about my dad. And I tell him, you know, my dad was never really there. You know, my mom was basically the one raised me and my siblings, and so he did his, like, research, right? And he looked up my, like, just went on police records, looked up all my dad's records and all that stuff, and he did a story about me, which was supposed to be a positive story, but then he threw in, like, just two long paragraphs about, you know, all my dad's arrests, like, just all of them. And I already told him, man, I didn't grow up with him, so, like, why is that relevant to the story? Come to find out, that was the same guy that did a bad story about a guy a year before, and so that went around the locker room, and nobody in the locker room would talk to him. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of one of those things that was my first eye-opening experience, like, why would anybody in the media do that? Because, you know, guys, and I don't want to say especially me, but guys respect me, and they respect what I bring to the table. And so for you to do that to me, that's kind of like a slap in the face to everybody. And so it was kind of one of those things. But, you know, here in this locker room, you know, I think guys understand which guys are going to ask good questions, which guys are going to try to get dirt out of some other guys. So it's just it definitely happens. It definitely goes around the locker room.
We're okay, right, me and you?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay,
we're
okay, good. What kind of phone you have?
I have an iPhone, I think, 7, I think, 7?
Yeah, I got to get an upgrade. I got to get an upgrade myself. My wife has a better one than me, for sure.
Amanda has iPhone 10, too. Like, the newest phone possible. I love my iPhone 7. We went out to last offseason. She went to Verizon, because her mom needed a new phone. Right. And so Amanda was like, how about you trade yours in and you trade your phone in and we'll give my mom your old phone and you can get the new phone. I was like, all right, sure, let's go in. We go in there. Of course, it's going to be like $500 for the new phone. I'm like, no, I don't want it. Like, I don't want to spend $500. I like my phone now. So she got all mad at me in the store. And so we ended up just getting her mom a new phone. And it was just funny because if it's not broke, I'm not going to.
That's right.
I'm not gonna need a new one.
So if I put your iPhone 7 on shuffle, what's the most likely artist group to come up?
Ooh. I like all types of music, man.
What do you have the most of in there though? Like certain group, certain band, artist?
As of late, I'm more like a R&B soul, like R&B pop type. And I'm not big into the whole rap music. Before games, I like to listen to, you know, get me going. I got a little R&B, I got a little rap, I got a little country, I got a little
bit of everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything, man. I'm kind of, it's kind of what mood I'm in. You know, before a game, I'm pumped. I want to listen to some rap. If I'm just chilling at the house, I want to listen to some nice laid back R&B type music. If I'm chilling on a beach in Greece, I want to listen to some Jack Johnson maybe and kind of get that feel. Yeah.
What about Broadway shows? I read that you're into Broadway shows. What? How did that come about, and what do you like?
So we went out to New York after, you know, we were here when we first got here back in last year around April or whatever. I've been to New York City a few times, but I think Amanda went once, but she didn't really get the experience. It was like a quick in and out thing. So we were like, you know, let's go to New York City for the weekend. We get there. One of her best friends told her about Broadway shows. And so we went and saw Aladdin, all the Disney stuff. But then we saw A Bronx Tale. We saw
On Broadway.
Wow. We saw
It's Hamilton, a good movie, though.
Hamilton. Great movie. I actually saw the movie after the play. And what was the other one? Book of Mormon, hilarious. So we like every time we go, we try to see one, you know, the Friday night and the Saturday night, and that's something that we just love to do.
Have you ever been into that, like acting show on stage?
No, I've never. That's something that's totally new to me. So right. to go to a show and see these people acting, like it is live. It's live acting. They don't mess up, and on top of that, they're singing and dancing. Like the stuff that they're able to do is, I just have a whole, you know, whole new respect for those people, because it's live, they're singing, dancing.
It's not like what you do, though. I mean, you can't just stop a play in the middle and say, hey, can you throw that over again, please?
Exactly. And so that's why I have so much respect for those people.
And you talk about Amanda a lot. I know you just were married last summer, I believe it is. Yeah. Been together a long time?
No, not really that long. I met her after my second year in the league. So what, that's a little over four years.
Been 6 years now.
Yeah. So, it was a blessing, man. I go out to San Diego during the off season. That's why I started going after my senior year, because that's where my agent was, and so he hooked me up with a trainer and stuff out there. So I've been going out there ever since, and she's from San Diego. So, we met through, you know, mutual friends, and ever since then, it's just good vibes, and she's, you know, we're opposites, but we definitely. Like when I'm with her, I feel like I can conquer the world. Like right. It's, you know, we love to travel. We love to hang out together, and it's just awesome, man.
Is she protective of you? Like, whether it's social media, sure, telling you things, like, cause there's a lot of wives that can get too much into that. Yeah, obviously, so, we've seen that.
Yeah. And we have conversations like that all the time. Cause people that aren't, that don't have a family member or a friend that's in this league or any professional league, like the amount of backlash that you, like, you know, say you give up a touchdown or something like that, people just are, it's social media, man. People are brave. They can say whatever they want. So, you know, it's difficult at times, but me and Amanda, we talk about that stuff all the time. Like she gets so pissed about, you know, things, because she's protective over me, I'm protective over her. If someone's talking about her, saying she's terrible at what she does, and you know, she runs our foundation, she's writing a book, she's really good at like writing and stuff like that. So she's doing all that. If someone disrespected her and said her book was terrible, I'm gonna be the first one to be like, yo, come here, like let's talk about this. So she's the same way with me, and she's my number one fan. She goes on her Instagram and puts up, you know, the Pro Bowl vote thing, and makes sure that her whole followers on Facebook are voting 10 times a day. So she's definitely protective, but, you know, I just try to tell her, like, babe, I've been doing this for a long time. Like, if someone wants to talk junk, it's in one ear, out the other. Like, we're not going to be that couple that are commenting back to people on Instagram and Twitter and getting in arguments. And because at the end of the day, those people want to be in our position. And ooh, that's something that we're not going to do. We're going to take the high road every single time.
I have to learn that myself sometimes. I get down that rabbit hole. You know, you report something, you say something, people tell you suck on the air or whatever. I do that all the time. You're like, but this person means nothing in my life.
Exactly. They mean nothing. And like I said, we talk about it all the time, and it especially, you know, this season has been difficult, just because, you know, the season hasn't gone the way we wanted it to. And you know, people just come at you, you know, with this and that. The Bills suck, the Bills this, and you know, all the hard work that we put in, and the studying, the game film, the physical stuff on and off the field, like, you know, it sucks to see, you know, people not see the you know, reap the benefits from the hard work, but it is what it is.
You live here full time during the season?
During the season, yeah. After the season, yeah, we go out to San Diego. Yeah.
What do you like about Buffalo? You like living here, being around these people?
Well, I think just the people in general, number one, are dying for a winning football team, a consistent winning football team. And you know, last year we were, you know, finally able to get the monkey off our backs and get them to the postseason. But yeah, I just love the community. I love that the day I got here, everybody around the organization was showing me love and showing my family love. And just from that, just the community, you know, whenever we go someplace, you know, people are just so nice and so down to earth. It's not New York City, you know. It's not. You know, people.
But you don't want that. You seem like you don't want that.
I'm a small town Ohio guy. Went to Iowa, Green Bay, and here. Like, I would love to finish my career here and kind of keep that small mindset, because I'm not a big lights. You know, obviously I'm not in San Diego in the offseason. I can go up to LA. I can do all that stuff. But I like to be low key. I like to, you know, go about our business, not put everything on social media and do all that stuff, and just. Yeah, just do things the right way.
I know you have to go lift here as we're sitting here, so tell me about your foundation, and so that way we can put something out there and people know all about it.
Imagine for you the foundation. Yeah, we do. We got an event next week, Kicks for Kids, that we did. I think we did last year, was our first year doing it in Cleveland, where my little sister was teaching at a school. Title One school. Yep. She was teaching at Title One school, and so we gave the whole school, I think it was 250 kids, new pair of Nikes. You know, I'm with Nike, so. We have a good connection with them. They help us out with my football camp every year in July. And so that's next week. We do a Thanksgiving. We did a Thanksgiving dinner for a whole bunch of kids a couple weeks ago. Like I said, my football camp. So it's my foundation is ran by Amanda, and she does an awesome job with everything. My mom's on the staff. Cool. You know, people in my hometown are on the board, so it's kind of still that, you know, we want to blow this thing up, but we know it's going to be a process. And we've done things in Detroit, obviously Ohio, here in Buffalo. So what we do is we can send out equipment for kids. We can generate money for kids, and whether it's, say, if you know, YMCA needs a new basketball hoop, we can donate the money, find a hoop, or you know, do whatever we gotta do to make sure they get it. You know, we can donate helmets to a football team, cleats. I think our biggest thing is cleats. We have back in my hometown, we have a huge storage full of just a whole bunch of cleats. So whenever someone gets on our page, we have a referral recipient on our website. To where anybody, you know, you can go on there. You could be walking down the street and see a kid that his shoes are all torn. You can go on there, you know, request size 10, and, you know, we'll see it and hopefully send some shoes to you. So, you know, it might not be the nicest brand new Jordans, but at the end of the day, they're shoes. They get the job done. And so I think that's what we're trying to do more of. We just want to help kids, help the youth. And because I know that for myself, that was big. Like, if there was plenty of times my mom couldn't afford stuff. Like, I was always on East Bay, like, circling stuff. Like, I'm trying to get this, I'm trying to get that. My mom would be like, no, we can't do that. So I'd wait for the clearance East Bay to come out, you know, usually after Christmas, and everything was, you know, big red marker crossed off, $29.99 shoes, and I would circle those. My mom would be like, Micah, like, come on, like, you know, you don't have that much, you know. So I just understand that's what, you know, kids, that's what they want, man. They want to be able to have some new basketball shoes to go and compete in and stuff like that. And so that's what we try to do.
What are we doing today? Bench, squat? What do you got going?
Jason's got us doing a little upper body workout. Hopefully it's not terrible like it was last week. I don't think he put too much effort into it last week. So, Paul, how was it? Yeah, so
that's Jordan Poirier's talking to. What'd you max out bench when you were younger? Oh, you don't max anymore at this age. You don't do that. No, that's bad for you, right?
I'm weak, man. I'm weak. I think the most I ever did was 225 12 times at the combine, and I was happy with that. Like, I
was. How sore were you after that, though?
I wasn't sore because we were training for it. So you know, we were doing it three times a week. So I wasn't too sore. But I'm not the heavy lifter by any means.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, and always grateful for your time.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it, Sal.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.